Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, January 15, 2016, and on today's podcast, we're going to continue our discussion of how the rule of law and Western civilization met its demise in the West, and how that's a terrible thing from which the United States may never recover. I was going to use the president's State of the Union speech as a backdrop this week, much as I did last week with his speech announcing his new gun measures, but after listening to the speech, reading over the transcript, I just can't do it. I can't discuss it. All the self-glorifying, pretentious preening is more than anyone can stand. The best evaluation of the speech I've seen was a tweet by David Burge, who blogs under the name Iowa Hawk. Mr. Burge said, quote, "Once again, a quarterback doing a touchdown dance after being tackled for a safety," end quote. So instead of that, we journey back in time, back 800 years to the signing of the Magna Carta in June of the year 1215, so 800 years ago last June. Much of what we take for granted in our lives had its origin in that great charter of liberty. Such concepts as trial by jury and a jury made up of people like us, not people of the king's own choosing, the right to due process of law before any criminal or civil penalty could be imposed upon us, the right of citizens to be armed and not just the king's men, the right of equal protection of the law, which is another way of saying we are all equal under the law, presidents and ordinary citizens alike, all part of Western civilization and all dead or under severe attack today, I suppose. We have made the president and even the office of the president into such an exalted position, such an exalted person, that it's very difficult for anyone to not start thinking of himself as very special indeed, with all the pomp, all the flights on Air Force One, everyone bowing and scraping and catering to his every whim. That's why a president should go back to Thomas Jefferson's practice of just writing a letter to Congress to give them his State of the Union report and having the letter read by a clerk instead of making a royal speech on national television. As we live each day, we decide as a society what our law is. Originally, we had the common law, which was a system of law handed down over the centuries. It was law that made sense. It was logical. Over time, people had problems like Mrs. Jones' cow gets loose and gets into Mr. Smith's field. Who pays for that? They had these problems. They would take these problems to the wise and respected leaders of the town, the village, the tribe, etc. Usually these leaders were clergymen. Over time, these common sense rulings evolved into a system of law known as common law. This system contained the common beliefs of the people and was passed down with reverence by each generation over the centuries. The common law reflected the belief that the laws were handed down from God. Law was at least loosely based on God's law, primarily law that could be traced back to the ancient book of Deuteronomy. So the question of whose law is law was answered in favor of the God that most people accepted as God. Today, that is all we all changed. All we have left is statutory law, which is law made up by politicians on the spur of the moment, which can be changed on the spur of the moment. Since this law is not backed by centuries of history and what used to be accepted as words inspired by God, it doesn't have to make any sense or be logical, as did the common law. In fact, it's not backed by anything except the empty policies of empty suit politicians. Things like saying certain words or digging a pond on your own land can sometimes become crimes for which you can be criminally sanctioned. The whims of politics control our destinies from one day to the next. My law school class, which started in the mid-1970s, I believe was the first law school class to which the common law was not taught. Today, if you went into court, especially the U.S. Supreme Court, and tried to argue the common law, you'd be laughed out of the profession. Too bad. It was a good system, a glorious system, a system of beauty. It hasn't taken long to destroy what it took centuries to build, so common law and rule of law rest in peace. What used to be the Christian West has rejected its heritage for a variety of reasons, but socialism was the vehicle for those reasons worldwide. The new world system used socialism to transport itself into our lives. Now even the church can no longer be depended on to hold the line against it, except for Islam. And therein lies the unbreakable fault line between the West and Islam. The Islamic world began in the 7th century with its God's law as the highest law for Islam, and for the most part, it still accepts its God's law as highest today. That's why Islam and Western concepts of democracy are not compatible and never will be compatible. Attempts to impose democracy on Islamic people or to assimilate them into a majority-ruled society will be met with rebellion and resistance. There will be continual friction because the two laws, the two systems, are not compatible in our world today. We in the West think that because our religious faith has been destroyed, we can impose our politician-made laws of democracy on others, and we don't seem to understand why others will not accept them. Not many even understand religion or faith anymore. When people act out of faith in ways they believe their religion dictates, our leaders and even many of us scratch their heads and wonder why. It's inconceivable that people could actually be guided today in our modern age by words written in a book thousands of years ago. All along the fringes of the world where societies collide, civilizations collide, there are continual conflicts and wars as the socialism of the West collides with the ancient beliefs of Islam. Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations and the Remaking of World Order, published in the 1990s, pointed out that after the fall of the Soviet Union, future worldwide conflicts would be civilizational as opposed to national, as these systems met and the boundaries became blurred by war, immigration, and other conflict. I would add that both civilizations saw the Soviet Union as an enemy, a common enemy, that they both fought in their own way, and now they can turn their attention to each other. Finally, folks, what we're seeing today is a civilization in decline because the system that built it, i.e. God's law, is what our law is based on. Individual rights come from God, and the individual is free and able to pursue his own prosperity and happiness as best he can. Western civilization, in other words, that system is not compatible with today's rule by elite politicians. We are seeing a mounting anti-elite sentiment. The more they try to make us feel dumb or ignorant for our beliefs, the more they are resented. Across the world, these sentiments are playing out, often linked with national decline. These sentiments fuel the demand for strong leaders perceived to be outside the ruling elite, leaders such as Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin. Well, that's all the collapse of everything that we hold dear that I have time for today, folks. For some parting good news, though, who says there's no such thing as good news? Maybe, just maybe, the rule of law isn't completely dead yet. Rumors coming out of the FBI that Hillary Clinton will soon be indicted for her many, many crimes. Perhaps, as I said, the rule of law isn't completely dead. That would be good news indeed. I'll try to continue this discussion next week, folks. Until that time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.